I'm going to talk to you today about forgiving yourself, learning how to forgive yourself, and we'll be in John chapter 8. After a 40-year absence from the sport, I've taken up racquetball once again. I've been tattooed so hard by that ball, I've carried a mark for several weeks. The other day, Barb said, "Did you get bit by a tick?" I said, Where? You know, it leaves a circle, you know, just like the target. And I've carried some of those marks. I've got one on my calf from yesterday. Played with a couple guys there at the Y in Hanover, and they are really good. This one fella, he was playing with Dave and I a couple weeks ago, and he said, "I haven't played for 20 years. And I said, "Yeah, and that was what, the national championship?" He said, "Well, actually, I was state champion." Well, we were playing yesterday, we were playing doubles, and he hit one. I got it right here. I could show you the mark if you'd like to see it. It's going to be there for quite a while. A month from now, you can say, "Hey, Pastor, where's that mark? I'll be able to show it to you." And he said, "Joel," he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "Man," I said, "I didn't hold anything back. That's as hard as I can hit." I said, "Well, I'm glad that's as hard as you can hit, because I can't imagine. I'm glad I have both legs with me today." There have been times I've gone and I got skunked, didn't score a point. There have been times when I haven't won a game, but I'm always glad that I played. You always learn something. It's fun to be with the guys, to run all around, act a little bit like a fool. But there's this one guy I play with that frustrates the gourd out of me. He's capable of hitting a winning shot and then on the very next play completely miss the ball. It's frustrating. Of course, that character is me. In racquetball, it's possible to miss the same shot three different times. You miss it coming, you miss it going, you miss it. And I've missed the ball three times, many times. When one of my buddies hits the ball, one of my opponents hits the ball, and it's a winner, I let out a cheer. I love to see a good shot, even if it's against me. But when I miss the ball, when my body doesn't do what I think it's supposed to do, this primal groan, this agonizing scream comes up from my lungs and it bursts out. And it fills the gym. It fills the city, as a matter of fact. It's something to hear. Agony. Severe agony and the opportunity to loathe oneself. That's why we play the game. But I'm learning to extend myself the same grace I seem to be able to extend to others. Now, a lot of people need to learn to let the offenses others have caused against them, let them go. But some of us really need to learn how to cut ourselves a break. Learning how to forgive yourself. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. So he's in a teaching session just like this, similar to this. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They interrupt the service. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Father, please help us today. I think we're going to be treading on some thin ice, some dangerous territory, and we're going to need your help getting across the stream safely. Help us in this place to get the message right, to hear clearly that it can do for us what needs to be done. When you handle a scalpel, it can damage or it can help bring healing. Please help it to bring healing today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's talk about what's really going on here. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are in an all-out assault against Jesus. They've tried everything they can to discredit him publicly. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Teacher, there was a woman, she married a fella, and he had 7 brothers. And he died, so the next brother married her. They had no children, and so the next brother married her, and so on and so forth, right down the line, and all died in succession. Whose wife will she be in glory? Teacher, there's a man here this morning with a withered hand, but it's the Sabbath. We're taught not to work on the Sabbath. You wouldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath now, would you? From the point of view from these Pharisees and teachers, this has nothing to do with this woman. It has nothing to do with a thirst for justice. She's a sorry pawn in their plot to tarnish Jesus' ever-growing popularity with the people. If he gives the okay to go ahead and stone her, well, he's going to be seen as harsh, brutal, and he'll be in trouble with Rome. If his verdict is anything less, he's refuting the law of Moses, and he's going to be in trouble with the Jews. You can almost hear him giggling as they drag that woman through the streets and onto the place where he's teaching. Yeah, we've got him now. Have you ever noticed how easy Jesus went on the big sins? Now, I want you to tune in to me. I want you to hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying, okay? I get the message, not the anti-message here. Adultery. Here in this passage, this woman is caught in adultery. And Jesus says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The woman at the well, you remember her. The list of her sexual indiscretions, her sin, is longer than your arm. And yet Jesus used her to become the evangelist for her town. She led a whole bunch of people out to meet Jesus, the Messiah. Let's talk drinking. Jesus was known to hang around people who drank too much and did sinful stuff. A friend of prostitutes and sinners. They said, Jesus is a friend of prostitutes and sinners. Now, they said that in order to discredit him. I kind of think he wore it as a bit of a badge of honor. He wanted everyone to know he was their friend. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not to condemn and kill. He's a friend indeed that sticks closer than a brother. Let's talk theft. You ever had something stolen from you? You know the pain of that? Theft. It was a thief that hung next to Jesus on the cross to whom he said, this day you will be in paradise with me. He welcomed a thief into glory. He didn't say, oh, hey, buddy, that's too bad. It's too bad you can't go pay back what you stole and pay the reparations commanded by the law from Moses. Shame, it's too late for you. No, he said, you're forgiven. Everything ever bad that you did is gone. That man's day didn't start out too good, did it? But it sure was going to end fantastic. Can you imagine starting your day condemned to death as a thief? And that evening, burst into glory. How did I get from there to here? Well, of course, his name was Jesus. As I stand before you this morning, or sit as the case may be, I'm a real nerd by human or society standards. I've only ever slept with one woman, and that's my wife, and that only after marriage. When I dream about a woman, it's my wife. Whenever we violate God's rules on morality, it's to our own harm. I understand that. I know that. I just got that when I was young. You want a good life, follow God best you can. His rules are not meant to be restrictive. They're to give us life. So neither God nor I take adultery lightly. It is a serious and terrible sin. I've never even tasted an alcoholic beverage. Mouthwash notwithstanding, and I try not to swallow that. I preach and I practice total abstinence. Both of my grandfathers were alcoholics. One got saved and delivered from that lifestyle, and the other died in a bar fight. Alcohol killed him. But that's not the topic for today. Just to say, alcohol addiction is a vicious sin. The Bible says, don't get drunk with wine or what have you. Whatever your conviction might be on that topic, I stand on total abstinence. To be honest and to fully disclose this morning, however, I am a thief. I once stole a Liberty quarter from my brother's coin collection. I was about 10 years old at the time. I justified it in my mind. He had a bunch of them. I didn't have any. He wouldn't miss one. I was 40 years old when I felt a fresh wave of conviction come over my soul. I wrapped up the quarter along with reparations in the form of an Indian head penny, and I shipped him off and confessed my sin and my crime to my brother. Thank God that Jesus forgives and rehabilitates thieves. They used to crucify him in Jesus' day, you know. Jesus went easy on people caught in these terrible sins: adultery, alcohol abuse, theft, other things I'm sure we could mention. But Jesus went hard after self-righteousness, greed, lust, hatred, bitterness, and hypocrisy. I suppose if we get these under control, bad behavior just goes away. But he hated sinful hearts disguised with religious robes or pious speech. He hated people pretending to be what they weren't really inside. Everyone who walked humble around Jesus was blessed. Everyone who walked arrogant got humbled. Now catch this. The judgment of the crowd means nothing. What people think about you or about an action means absolutely nothing. Whether that crowd is the church crowd or society's crowd. How many remember some condemning things that came out of the church that were not of God? There was a day when, ladies, if you didn't wear your hair in a bun, if you didn't have a long skirt on, guys, if you didn't wear that suit to church, oh man, they were toasting you in their brains, if not out loud. Some people actually got walked outside and were told, your kind isn't welcome here. That was the judgment of a crowd, supposedly the church. That judgment was wrong. It meant nothing. Society has changed its mind on a number of topics. What they think on Entertainment Tonight or on the nightly news means nothing. The judgment of Christ means everything. Jesus, what do you think about this? It stands the test of time. It stands the reproach or the cheering of the people throughout the ages. All I want to know, Jesus, what do you think? All the rest of this is noise. It's interference. It goes up, it comes down. The crowd condemns. The crowd okays. It means nothing. Our society now condones people living outside of marriage, living together outside of marriage. Just cohabit as if you are married. Our society is just fine with that. There's no longer any kind of a stigma attached to it. Used to be, oh, wow, that was the talk of the town, as it were. It was greatly frowned upon. Our society has okayed variant lifestyles. It means nothing. Nothing changed from the time God set things into order for when people were against it and now they are for it. Doesn't matter. The judgment of the crowd means nothing. Nobody drags adulteresses or adulterers out into the street any longer. But the Bible still says, adulterers, liars, thieves, the cowardly will not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't want to be in those lifestyles, not because people are for or against it, but because there is a holy God. There is a day called the Judgment Day when we will appear before not society, not a jury of our peers, and this is why only Jesus' judgment matters. We're going to stand before Him. Used to be a little bit easier to preach hellfire and brimstone because everybody felt guilty because everything was wrong. Now everything's okay. And when you talk about sin, people don't know what you're talking about. There's no latent guilt inside. We've all been approved. You ever use your credit card at the kiosk? I always get a little kick out of it when it says, you've been approved. Ah. I've been approved. I've been approved a lot. Means nothing. Means nothing. And that's why Jesus told the woman, go and leave your life of sin. I forgive you for what you did. Don't keep it up. Something's got to change. Can't remain the same. So when I say, you need to learn to forgive yourself, I do not mean that you should give yourself permission to do whatever you want and never have a pang of guilt or trouble about it. Just go ahead and enjoy yourself. Whatever you want to do, you just go ahead and do that. I don't mean that if no one else condemns you, you must be fine. What I mean is if Christ has forgiven you, then you are free. It's absolutely gone. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Be careful not to forgive yourself until you have your sin washed in the blood of Jesus. Go to Jesus first. You see, there's a world of difference between walking in the forgiveness you received from Christ and simply forgiving yourself, thinking it was no big deal anyway. You got that? Huge difference. World of difference. Two people can be not feel any pang of guilt at all. That is not the base. That is not proof of salvation that you don't feel guilty. Have you been to the cross? Many feel no guilt for their sins because they've already forgiven themselves. They've talked themselves into, they have a different philosophy. You see, the Bible says, don't be conformed to the way this world is, but be renewed in your thinking by the Word of God. And a lot of people have just been convinced that the world is right. They may read their Bible sometimes, but they have worldly thinking. How else do you explain to me what's going on in our major denominations today? The people they are ordaining into ministry compared to what the Bible has to say. They have drunk the Kool-Aid. They have decided that what the world has said is the way it's going to be. We're not going to vote when we get to heaven. We're not going to be graded on a curve when we get to heaven. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. I heard one lady say, every night I kneel beside my bed and I ask God to forgive me. And then she would crawl into bed with her lover with whom she was not married. That's not repentance. That's self-forgiveness. That's some kind of an incantation. You might as well wear crystals and have a good luck charm. It's not going to do you any good. My message today is to the lady who lost her virginity early and has felt terrible ever since. The message this morning is for the fellow who once talked his girlfriend into having an abortion. The man who flunked out of college and fell short of everyone's expectations. The lady whose son became addicted to drugs, so now she feels like a failure. The fellow or gal who bullied their way through high school and is now so ashamed of that conduct. Hear this. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. There isn't anybody in this room any better than anybody else. We are all sinners. The Bible says if you broke the law in any one point, you broke the whole law. You're a lawbreaker. No police officer ever goes to a house and says, I know you're a murderer, but I'm in charge of theft and you're not a thief, so I'm going to let you go. When Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, that includes you. Stop stoning yourself. Now hear what I'm saying. Stop getting stoned. Yes, that too. Stop stoning yourself. You do not qualify as a judge. Not for anybody else and not for you either. You haven't earned that title. God has not conferred it upon you. You are not your judge. Your own conscience can be warped. It can be warped in a way that gives you permission, and it can be warped in a way that condemns you unrighteously so. You are not the judge. And when Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, everyone left until there was only Jesus and the woman. So what do we have here? Don't we have somebody left in the room without sin? We have somebody qualified to cast a stone. He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So Jesus is there. He qualifies. Does he stone the woman? Does he say, oh, good, I wanted to do this myself? Not at all. He forgives. Today, you stand or sit, as the case may be, before Jesus. Confess your sins, your failures, and leave them there. Walk away free. Today is the day of salvation. Today is Freedom Day. Whatever you carried in, whatever drug in with you, you don't have to leave with it. The sad truth is, many walk around self-forgiven, but still under the sentence of death because they've not been to the cross. They don't feel any pang of guilt. They don't feel bad at all. They want us to shut up because they said it's the church that makes them feel bad. They walk around self-forgiven, but still under the sentence of death. Conversely, many who have been to the cross walk around self-condemned. They're feeling like a jerk. They're feeling like a loser. They're feeling like a sinner. They feel like, oh, I deserve condemnation, which you do, but you're no longer condemned. You have been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, you don't want to be self-righteous, but neither do you want to be self-condemned. And if you're beating yourself up all the time and telling yourself, we talk about the crime of when an adult tells a child, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be any good. A worse crime than that is when you say it to yourself. Some of us ought to be up on abuse charges for ourselves. You're no good. You'll never amount. It will never take hold. You'll never get there. It isn't coming from anybody else. I know this very well for myself. I couldn't have had a better set of parents. I couldn't have had a better family. So I was born and raised in the church. Well, born in the hospital, but you know what I'm saying. But this cloud of condemnation that wants to follow you around. There's a world of difference between humility and self-condemnation. A world of difference. Self-condemnation is not biblical humility. If you are using self-condemnation to keep your pride at bay, to keep humility in your heart, you're using the wrong tool. It's killing you. It's stunting the growth that Christ would bring into your life, that you might blossom and shine and become everything that He created you to be. Stop beating yourself. Self-condemnation lashes you with guilt, tells you you're no good, strips all of your courage away. Self-condemnation comes from the devil. Even though it sounds holy, it's wicked. Feeling condemned is humbling, but a false basis for humility for a child of God. So you feel condemned. Shame on you for feeling condemned. When you've been to the cross. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Woo! Oh, happy day. I'm no longer guilty. I no longer carry a stain. When God looks at me, He smiles. When I look at me. I catch my reflection in the mirror. Oh no, it's you again. I need to get a glimpse of what God sees and quit with what I have seen and how I have treated myself my whole life long. I need to hear what He says about me and stop spreading bad rumors about myself, with myself. I need to start confessing the things that God says about me and quit repeating the terrible phrases that I've collected for myself, even if I thought it was just keeping me humble, just keeping me humble. It was keeping me bound. When you start hearing what God has created you to become and the possibilities for which He's going to use your life, you know, God will speak to you, and then the enemy will go, oh, you could never do that. You remember when you failed over your marriage? Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right. I could never. Even though the Bible still says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We quit trying after a while. Today is the day of release. Today is the day of salvation. Now, wouldn't it have been foolish for that woman to have picked up a rock and started hitting herself? No, I deserve this. I deserved it. Give me two rocks. Wouldn't that have been stupid? Jesus says to her, you're forgiven, you're free. Oh, no. I need to be stoned today. You sin against Christ when you choose to carry guilt from a past sin Jesus has already forgiven. Let me read that again. You sin against Christ. You're saying, you're not the judge. You're not the final authority. I am. You sin against Christ when you choose to carry guilt from a past sin Jesus has forgiven. You can be honest about the things you've done without carrying the guilt. I stole a quarter from my brother when I was 10 years old. Or any other thing. Because truth be told, we are all guilty of breaking every single one of God's commands. Jesus said, you've heard, do not murder. Well, if you've hated somebody, I say, yeah, I was say. Well, you've heard it said, do not commit. I say, if you've lusted after, so, you have to go. We're guilty. We're, like I said, scum of the earth. Here we are. Scum assembly of God. No, that's who we were. But we've been washed. What do we call ourselves? New life, assembly of God. Yes, saints of God. We're all guilty of breaking every single one of God's commands, but some of us have been to the cross. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just keep doing whatever you feel like doing. Take it to the cross. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me and teach me how to walk right as we do this thing together. Would you